congratulations to the Navy midshipmen.
But I can't fight no more.
But I can't fight no more.
Army, for the second year, has won it.
To the winners of the Commander-in-Chief's Trophy, the great Air Force Falcons.
Now for the men.
The United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Against All Enemies podcast. It's been a while. We got Austin, we got Kayla, Scott is out sick, so I guess y'all are relying on me for Air Force coverage today. Austin, you can take all the Navy, and we'll see what happens with that. But
does anyone know? I thought maybe Scott was sick because he was sitting in traffic for hours leaving the.
He's at the stadium. Yeah. He still hasn't gotten home from the Winter Classic, is that what you're saying?
The Stadium Series.
Yeah.
Man, what a nightmare.
Yeah, man. What a disaster. Like, and it's funny because I was like reading, you know, I read Navy Times, I'm sure you guys do too, or Air Force, whatever. And it's so funny because they tried to put a spin on it, like Air Force hosts hockey game, sold out hockey game or whatever, like barely any mention of it. And it's just like ESPN was on the front page for a while yesterday. What a disaster.
Yeah. I have not seen a positive review, which is a disappointing end to all the work that goes into that. Because you know they work hard for it, and it's a fun thing. And oh man, people were wanting money back. People didn't get there until into the second period. Crazy.
People were ditching their cars and walking an hour.
No, I saw that.
To get there in between the second or after the second intermission.
This local news story calls it. Fans say it's the worst game experience ever.
That's tragic. I mean, that's like super harsh. And so, I mean, it's not like we would have talked about this regardless, right? Like, you have to talk about it. It happened. But I don't know how you even, like, what is the, like, what do you, how do you defend that? How do you spin that if you're Nathan Pine or whatever? Like, I don't know. Or you just own up to it and say, like, that's the thing, too, was like, that's where the, and then maybe that's part of like first year still AD or whatever, or finishing up his first year and trying to figure out how you work with the athletic department, with the school, right? Because I'm sure that was largely an athletic department function, but you also know like the coordination that has to go into ATFP and with the gate guards and all that sort of stuff to coordinate logistics for an event on base like that. It's not just the athletic department, right? They're going to have to work with the military as, you know, as a whole on base. And maybe that's the biggest lesson learned. I have no idea. I mean, I haven't heard anything from them as far as.
Oh, yeah. I think they've enjoyed the 3-day weekend, and maybe we'll hear something tomorrow. Because a lot of their original articles were no comment from the NHL, no comment from the Avalanche or whatever. But I don't even know if anyone really reached out to the Air Force Academy yet. So.
Yeah. And I mean, they were pretty quick to say, yeah, no comment, but that it was all Air Force as far as coordinating. The academy, as far as coordinating logistics for the game and the traffic flow. And like some of these people were coming from, you know, hour and a half plus away, especially if you're coming from Denver and you're an Avalanche fan, or even further away, like you're an Avalanche fan, but you live in Southern Colorado. And so you can easily make the drive to Colorado Springs. It's just, I mean, it sucks obviously for the fans. And once again, goes to show the downside or just the struggle, the challenge at Air Force with where they are, where the stadium is, how big that, you know, facility is that they have to kind of, you know, manage, and makes me appreciate that much more, not the job that Navy does. They do a great job, obviously, but just the fact that Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium is off base. It's by itself, right?
Yeah.
And not off some major highway or anything, really. Like, it's off 50 or whatever, but it's not. Yeah. I mean, it's just, you don't have those same challenges.
And if you had to walk downtown, it's not a long walk, you know. If you went to a restaurant or bar, like, not a bad spot.
Yeah, and there's parking challenges there and stuff too, you know, sometimes. Sure. But nothing, I mean, you know, nothing like, you know, what it sounds like there was. And anybody who's been to a football game there, I mean, I've only been as a mid twice, so you kind of don't get the full experience because you're being bussed in or whatever. But from what I've heard, it's par for the course, really. But you have to, I don't know. But then it's like, you have to know this is coming. Like, obviously, you've been planning this. You get the chance to do this. Navy put on an amazing stadium series, right? Last year or 2 years ago, whenever it was. Capitals and Maple Leafs game, and you've known for a while this is happening, like, how, I don't know. And you know you have problems with this in the past.
This is where I wish Scott was here, because I don't think he would defend the...
No, I don't think so either. You're right. Yeah.
He'd be brutally honest.
I agree. Yeah. But anyways, so there's your, I guess, hockey discussion for the day. But yeah, so I'll try and be there for you guys. So I guess I want to pause on this. Let's talk basketball really quickly, because if there is a team to be positive about, or a school to be positive about this week, not overall for the season, but this week, it would be Air Force. Kayla, you did the basketball roundup for us this week, so you probably have it freshest in your mind. So Air Force had a pretty good week. They're still sitting, I believe, ninth for the men, 10th for the women in the Mountain West, but they both teams desperately needed some wins, and both teams, you know, got wins this week.
Yeah, I was very, very pleased with Air Force basketball, particularly the women's team, watching their game. We've said it as a whole. I mean, Service Academy basketball has been a bit of a lull. Both of these teams, after kind of coming off losses to Boise State earlier in the week, up against San Jose, I mean, you had both teams getting high scoring double digits, a number of players like really, really just being aggressive, getting those free throws completed. So a lot of them are doing really well. Special, just kind of like shout out to on the women's team. So Riley Snyder and Kaylin Immel, both just awesome, awesome, awesome. So Snyder had 32 points, 8 rebounds and 3 assists. Immel had 22 points, 4 assists and 3 rebounds. So a bunch of really just kind of dominating in the paint for them, especially kind of in the first half, because that game was, if you had a chance to watch it, it was up until the last couple minute or so. They won by 1 point, 67-66 over San Jose. And then for the men's team, obviously, Lavelle Scotty and Ryan Swan both combined for 44 points, scoring 22 points each. Just did an awesome job. A.J. Walker had a triple-double opportunity, just missed it, but he had 9 assists just alone, 11 rebounds, and 10 points, and they were shooting 55% from the field for the game. So just all around good job for Air Force basketball, coming off some not so great news in terms of hockey. But like I said, I think this was definitely a win for Service Academy basketball in general, but definitely for Air Force basketball. And so we'll see some other exciting games this week. Air Force women are going to be taking on Fresno State Wednesday, as well as the men, and then Wyoming this afternoon, Saturday afternoon. So, and Fresno State is at the top of the Mountain West right now, so it'll be an interesting game. And after watching the San Jose battle, you know, it's, I'm not going to say nothing is impossible come Wednesday, so we'll see.
Yeah, and this is, and we'll get to Army Navy in a second, but Air Force is obviously overall performing. I mean, nobody's really doing amazing on any of the six teams, but they're sitting at the bottom, right? But it's interesting because, like, the men, they score in bunches. Like, they're pretty fun to watch, but they can't seem to stop anybody and just have been on a, you know, pretty bad losing streak before getting the win. Now sitting ninth in the conference at I believe 4-10. But the women, who are at 10th in the conference, also at 4-10, we were talking about this before we jumped on, that, you know, they just beat the third best team in the conference in San Jose State, just like you talked about. That lost to Boise, who's the second best team in the conference, was only by 5. They have a win against San Diego State in their last, so they seem to be playing well. And even in their losses in conference, you mentioned Fresno State, which has not lost in conference all year. They're 15-0 and 22-4 on the year. They only lost by 9 at Fresno, and they get Fresno at home this weekend. So this is a team that has a really bad record, 6-19, 4-10 overall, but has played some pretty tight games for the most part. You know, in the last 10 games, even though they lost the majority of them and had a pretty long losing streak going. I don't know. They have, what it takes, I think. Some good players, like you said. Same thing on the men's side. They just can't seem to put together. But we've talked about this before. Maybe it was the last episode, right? Like, Patriot League, I think, is a really good mid-major conference. But the Mountain West is, I think, a different level in the mid-major spectrum for basketball. When you've got San Diego State's on the men's side, Fresno State's on the women's side, there's nothing like either of those teams in the Patriot League. And so it's just it's tough for them in that conference. But, yeah, big props to them. On the Army and Navy side, let's just go Navy first. Not as much of a positive spin on this week, as they've kind of fallen back in conference. They did get the win against Bucknell, which they swept Bucknell, which I think is the first time in a long time, right? They swept Bucknell. So that is a positive, no doubt. But then dropped a pretty, I think it was their worst loss in conference of the season to Boston on Saturday, and have fallen back to like sixth, I believe, sixth or seventh, I think sixth in the conference. So Austin, your take on the Navy men at this point, kind of getting towards the end of Patriot League play. I mean, maybe even slightly overperforming if you look at the kind of the whole deal in conference play, sitting at 500, but sixth place. I mean, I'm not upset by that. I don't think they're having a bad year by any stretch of the imagination.
No, I would agree. I mean, middle of the pack would probably have been higher than expectations. I don't remember what their preseason pick was, but it was towards the bottom. Was it last or second to last?
Yeah, it was really low. I want second to last, I believe.
Yeah, it was either ninth or tenth.
What comes to mind, but.
So, you know, you think, like, even if you make it to the semifinals of the Patriot League, then that's probably a pretty good year. So you put yourself, you know, where you don't have to match up with one or two, probably, if you can finish top six. And maybe that happens. Colgate and Boston have definitely kind of separated themselves a little bit. And then 3 through 7 is a little tight. So it'll be interesting to see what they got. I think American Army got 4 games left, American Army this week. And those will be telling to see what seed they pull in the tournament. And if they can even go 500 in the next 4, I think they got a shot to make the semifinals. And that's not a bad goal for a team that's really led by, well, John Carter and Cam Davis, right? So you got a junior and a sophomore. So, I mean, you don't have, if you're going to miss the size of Evan Wick and the senior next year, but you're building off of the other two that are certainly your point scorers. And that's why I think it's an okay season. Expectations were not high, and they're middle of the pack. Like, I think that's what you can ask for 2020 basketball season.
I agree. Yeah, so looked it up, ninth. So we were right, ninth, second to last. So predicted ninth. Army, on the other hand, was predicted sixth. So they're kind of right where they were expected to be. We'll get to them in a second. You brought up the fact they play Army this weekend with the star on the line. They lost to Army in the first matchup. Tommy Funk kind of had his way in that game, but Cam Davis kept it close, hitting some big shots down the stretch before they kind of gave way. But it's crazy. So we'll talk to women, because both on the Army and Navy women's side, absolutely underperforming seasons. We were talking a little bit before we came on. Navy women, y'all know, very close to my heart. I'm very close to that coaching staff. The seniors on that team were freshmen when I was their O-rep. And so close with all of them, love them to death. But when you can only dress 8 players for a game, it's just, I mean, it's tough, right? Like, it's just going to be tough to win. So they're sitting, you know, second to last, because Army's sitting dead last in the conference.
Yeah.
And just for two teams that for about a 10-year stretch were at the top of the conference, trading kind of back and forth. Navy went on a 3 or 4 year run. Army went on a 3 or 4 year run. Navy had another great run where they were finishing, you know, second, basically back-to-back years, making it to the conference championship game, going to the NIT, getting some wins, and then Navy's had a rough last couple seasons, and then Army after last year, after Madison Hovren graduated, you know, completely fell off this year. And I mean, that's the bottom two teams in the Patriot League. Not really much to say there, but they do play each other this weekend, and the star is on the line. And the crazy, I mean, I saw this from Navy Athletics. Obviously, they're going to push it. If Navy wins 2 out of the 3 stars this weekend, wrestling is also taking on Army. That one is more than likely, I think, going to go Army's way. I mean, it would take a pretty big performance from Navy to upset Army, and that Army's the 18th ranked team in the country and has had a really strong wrestling season. But if Navy wins 2 out of the 3 events this weekend, they will have clinched the Star Series before the spring sports even get underway. That's crazy, right?
I mean, I would hang my hat on that, considering like the breadth of the season that they've had. You know, I think that would be a smart decision to make, but in the grand scheme of things, it's kind of sad to look at.
Yeah, but it is, I mean, but we know the Navy women can beat the Army women. That's not going to be a fun game to watch, probably. But
yeah,
and the men. I mean, the men's game could be a toss up too.
Yeah,
but it's just a crazy.
Army's thing. Probably favored in both the wrestling and men's basketball side, and you know, Navy women, I guess, are favored in that matchup. So 2-1 is possible for Navy, but 1-2 is probably where we are.
1-2 more than likely. Yeah. I just thought it was crazy that that's even a possibility this weekend before we even get into spring competition.
We need baseball to matter. We need baseball to
matter. Yeah, well, that's the last one. It's probably not going to matter by the time we get to get to that. But on the Army side, I don't know if you have anything else to add for the women. I mean, that pretty much there's not. It's just been really, really rough for Dave McGarity and his squad. But on the men's side, I would say a positive week for the Army men. They continue to hang in there after having such a rough start to Patriot League play. I think they were 0-4 to start Patriot League play or something like that, maybe even more than that, and then went on that run of like six straight wins, and now they're sitting at, I believe, 8-6 in conference. So, yeah, Kaylee, you want to talk about Army men?
Yeah, I mean, kind of last time we spoke, like I said, Tommy Funk just back at it again, kind of the usual suspect in terms of high scores. And what he's been doing as a senior as well as fellow captain with Matt Wilson. I wasn't really surprised. I think what they did great at this game is really converting those points off turnovers. I think kind of early on it was a little bit scary for me. I think kind of they dominated and kind of came back. But I think it wasn't a surprise. I think kind of, like I said, in the grand scheme of things in comparison to the women's team, the men's team has been doing relatively well. I kind of expected them to kind of perform. But, I mean, like I said, Tommy Funk, you know, 7 rebounds, 26 total points, 9 for 12 field goals, and Matt Wilson doing his thing as well. So I think it's a good game, especially for these seniors to kind of end the season on coming, you know, kind of towards, you know, weeks coming. But this is the largest lead that they've had playing this last game this weekend. So it'll be interesting to see this week's matchup.
Yeah, and this is, you say, coming to an end, and you mean obviously the end of the regular season. But this is a team that, with Tommy Funk, just the way he's able to dish out assists now at the Patriot League all-time assist leader, has been for several games now, and just the way they kind of turned it around with that six-game winning streak, dropped a couple, but then bounced back and have won two in a row now. They get a not very good Loyola team and Navy this week, who you would say, once, like Austin said, they're probably favored against. You know, you win both of those games, you're sitting at 10-6 with the worst team in the league, who is 2-12 in Holy Cross, coming up after that. And then you finish with the number one team. So if you, there's no reason to think they can't go on another winning streak and be at about a 5-game win streak,
right,
at 11-6. When they face Colgate at the end, looking at a potential, you know, top four seed, top three seed in the tournament, or so. And so, yeah, I mean, they're right where we kind of thought they would be right now. I guess they're tied for fourth in the conference. They're predicted sixth, but Funk is leading the way. Matt Wilson was actually, I believe, Patriot League Player of the Week, I believe, this past week, was just named. So They're looking good and have really rebounded from what was an absolutely dismal start to this, you know, the start to the season for them. So we'll see what happens this weekend against Navy and see what which teams of these six can maybe make a run as we head into tournament play coming up. But let's take a break real quick. When we come back, we're going to really quickly talk a little football, and then after that, we're going to move on to lacrosse, because if basketball has been kind of somewhat depressing if you looked at it holistically from a service academy perspective this season, lacrosse could not have started better. I mean, just across the board, it has been fantastic. So we'll be right back to talk that. All right, welcome back to the Against All Enemies podcast. And so we just talked basketball, and now we're going to talk very briefly a little football. So you know, a couple of things going on, and honestly, mostly on the Navy side, right this second. Not that, and we know we have some Army players like Elijah Riley that are going to get a shot for sure come draft day. Air Force, Mo Fafita, you know, some others that are probably going to get a look too. But I guess the two probably biggest things that, you know, right now from that front, since we're kind of waiting on spring ball to pick back up, and we can look at, you know, look ahead to that. This weekend, XFL Game 2. I've watched both games of the Seattle Dragons. Austin, have you been able to catch either or both games?
So, the last two weekends, we've had tournaments. So I've been, at one point I was watching it on my phone, and some people came up to me like, "What are you watching?" I was like, "This is the XFL, man." That was the Defenders and Dragons. I think that was the opening game, was it not?
The opening game, Defenders and Dragons.
So I was half watching, but I've always been able to catch the highlights afterwards. So I did see the Keenan Reynolds, because he got the first game. I think he got a 2-point conversion. Maybe it was a 1-point conversion.
I think it was a one. But
whatever it was, yeah.
But
no, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Got the touchdown, you know, and
yeah, I think he's been targeted quite a bit, and some of them have. I feel like he maybe could have made a better play on the ball. some of them just not, I mean, the underthrown and things like that, that aren't his fault. But he's getting a healthy share of the targets. He's obviously one of the go-to, if not the go-to guy on the Dragons. But he had not a rough, but I mean, just like he made a couple catches and was looking fine, but was able to really get behind the defense, yeah. Ran a great route, got under it, and took it to the house, and then scored the next 2-point conversion right after that on the next touchdown, the defensive touchdown. The guy basically caught it in the air in the end zone, the defensive lineman, but Keenan got that 2-point conversion. So he scored 8 points, you know, on those two drives.
He might be working with one of the weakest quarterbacks in the XFL. So
yeah, I mean, the Dragons were predicted to be dead last, I believe, of the teams as far as win total in the, you know, Vegas odds. And so, yeah, I mean, he continues to kind of show out a little bit, and it's fun to see because of the XFL, you get the cameras in the face automatically, like right afterwards, you get to hear from him. I mean,
he was gasping for breath in the interview as soon as he scored the touchdown. He was like, "How do you feel about that?" He's like,
"Yeah,
you know?
yeah." But it's cool for us who watched Keenan for 4 years. Obviously, huge fans. Wish him well. I believe if the XFL holds on, he's definitely got a place there.
Yeah, they paid their players this week.
Yeah, yeah. So we're about a week away from when the AAF folded. So hopefully we hold out for the full season here and we get to see some more Keenan. And then on the other Navy quarterback turning wide receiver front, we kind of broke the news, I guess unofficially, but because the NFL hadn't announced officially, but you know, knew Malcolm Perry had gotten a combine invite. And so Malcolm's going to the combine. Obviously had that touchdown run that Kayla posted about from the Shrine game. In his one carry there, and from all accounts is making a smooth transition to wide receiver. And so my question to you, Austin, is basically, you know, he's the only service academy player participating in the combine this year. That usually is one or zero a year, you know, is kind of what we look at. But we know he's special. We know he's different. Even Army and Air Force fans, you know, they don't want to see him anymore, right, Kayla? You know Malcolm Perry is a good football player. And he's got talent that can't be coached, as Coach Ken would say. So, Austin, I want to get your take on kind of what you're expecting from him at the combine, what he needs to do to succeed. Does it really for him come down to the 40-yard dash and what he runs on that as far as impacting his draft status? And, what are you thinking as far as the draft goes for Malcolm Perry?
For me, it's more than the 40-yard dash. The 40-yard dash, just that north to south, is one thing. But his ability to just move laterally and get past defenders. I mean, he makes defenders look silly. Like, no, they have never seen someone cut that quickly with his feet. You know what I mean? Like, moving laterally.
Yep.
And that's the part that you cannot coach and you cannot teach. So I don't think his 40 time is going to blow people away. I'm hoping that he's able to, you know, run some crisp routes and be able to be seen in his development process, and that's really what's going to sell him. I do think the combine will be good in terms of, and I think he'll do great in any type of interview or leadership process. Yeah, and I think that'll shine. Yeah. And at the end of the road, I see the draft ceiling probably being something similar to what Keenan was experiencing in the late rounds. That someone's going to take a chance on him, and from there.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Keenan thing helps or hurts him. I'm curious to see if that's going to impact anyone's decision at all, if they're going to lump the two together and try and do something from there. But Malcolm is definitely more of a playmaker, where Keenan was probably more of a quarterback, if that makes sense, in terms of what Navy does in a triple option. I don't know. Even when I say that out loud.
No, I mean, I think that makes perfect sense. Go ahead, Kayla.
Oh, I was going to say, I think, so I was looking up, I guess, all of the combine participants on the NFL website and kind of looking on what kind of they view as his strengths and weaknesses, because obviously he's listed right as a wide receiver. But I think it's interesting for us specifically because we've been watching and viewing him as a quarterback. And so, like, some of his weaknesses that they list is built like a running back playing receiver, limited exposure to receiver snaps, below average short area suddenness as a slot, routes are leggy and show him through transitions. But on the other half of that, says, you know, undersized, but a tough runner for short yardage option package, has some slot receiver experience, low center of gravity, enhances change of direction. So it's just interesting. So I'm excited to kind of see him as, like I said, listed as a wide receiver only because I think we've seen him as a quarterback. And so you haven't, the general like NFL combine audience, I don't think is seeing his strength through that lens.
Yeah. But like the cool part is that, I mean, and not cool, I guess, for this portion of things, not for when it was happening, but we have seen him as more than just a quarterback playing for Navy, right? So he does have exposure to more than just playing quarterback in the triple option from, you know, time playing slot back, you know, a couple seasons ago. But also to Austin's point about how the Keenan thing impacts him, I think it helps personally, because I think that any scout is going to look at Malcolm Perry differently than they're looking at Keenan Reynolds from a talent perspective, right? Mm-hmm. And what they bring to the table as far as, like you said, like more Keenan, more of the somewhat traditional option quarterback. Malcolm is just so elusive. Keenan did not get a chance to go to the combine. Malcolm gets to go to the combine. That's not everything, obviously, but he is going to get a chance to show just how fast he is, just how quick he is. He's going to be able to catch balls outside of, you know, the small pro day that Navy will run. And so I think that those things help. But I think what really helps is no one ever doubted or spoke negatively about Keenan from an off the field perspective, right? Like, it wasn't about any of that. It wasn't about effort. It wasn't about, you know, who he was. He was immediately a leader on the team on the Ravens. He's done the same thing in the Seahawks. The other receivers in the receiving room talk glowingly about him. Doug Baldwin talks glowingly about Keenan Reynolds from his time in Seattle on the practice squad for a couple of years. And so I think from that perspective, coupled with Malcolm, like Austin said, is going to do well in an interview setting with teams. And when Keenan was drafted, there was uncertainty as far as whether or not he'd be able to play. You know, that decision didn't come till the day of graduation for him. So he'd already been drafted. So my personal opinion is that he has a shot. I mean, I think you're right, Austin. I think like fifth or sixth round is where you'll find him. But there is a chance that he moves up into maybe the fourth round or something like that, I think, based on those things. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think his performance there is really going to do him a disservice, because I think someone's still going to be willing to take a chance late. So if anything, it helps him maybe appear in the fourth round. Maybe.
Yeah. So we'll see. But it'll be interesting to follow. It's really cool to have, you know, a combine participant for the service academies that's not a long snapper. Like, no offense, Joe Cardona, but it's not a long snapper that's going to have a chance to potentially turn some heads. And then on the pro day thing, like, I just think that's cool. I think it's cool that you have a player that's going to draw probably scouts from a third, a half of the NFL teams or more that want to see him perform on the pro day, that then allows other players to the desire the chance to at least give it a shot at the pro day and see what happens, to have that chance, right? And that only happens when you have a Malcolm Perry or somebody like that at these service academies. Normally it's, you know, half a dozen guys performing for less than half a dozen scouts type deal. So I think that's cool. Any other thoughts on Malcolm?
Plenty of thoughts on Malcolm. I want to talk about him for 4 more years. Can we do that?
No.
Well, it might be. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, well, yeah. About him on the NFL. Sundays.
We'll see. So we're obviously wishing him the best and be excited to watch come next a week from now or so, right?
Yeah, it's the 20th.
His combine performance. So that'll be cool. All right, so let's talk a little lacrosse. It has been as good as it could go, I think, so far for Service Academy lacrosse. I think everyone would agree with that, right?
Yep.
Is that a true statement?
Yeah, for my opinion.
I don't even know where to start, really, but I guess if I'm looking at this unbiased, and I wrote the lacrosse roundup this week and tried to do that right, there is not a more not surprising, they were a good team last year, but an impressive team that is moving up the ranks quickly than the Army men's lacrosse team. They are now in the top 10. I believe 7th by 2 of the polls and 9th by the Inside Lacrosse poll. So they moved in the top 10. They have obliterated opponents. And not like not me and Austin going out there and trying to play lacrosse against these guys. Like, top 20 opponents twice. And I don't remember now, I'd have to pull up the article, but like, it's like they've won like 52-11 is the total score differential or something like that. So Austin, you said you concur. I'm sure Kaylee, you do too. What are your guys' thoughts on Army men's lacrosse and their start to the season at 3-0?
I mean, yeah, beating UMass and Rutgers and the score differential, I mean, you already talked about it. But what is it? Brendan Nick turned 7 goals, 11 assists, just leading it and just being a top of the class player. Like, I mean, he's just dominating a fashion that's not commonly seen against quality competition face like that. So yeah, without a doubt, that's going to be a scary matchup as a Navy fan. That's one I'm not, even as well as Navy's done in the first 2 games of the year.
Yeah.
I'm still intimidated by that one. That's Army's looking really good.
Yeah.
I agree. Like I also Final say Four, like
Elite Eight good type. You know what I mean?
You laugh, like that sounds a little crazy, but I think it's legitimate, and we'll get to, you know, who they play this weekend in a second. Go ahead, Kayla.
Well, I was going to say, like, I agree, and specifically talking about Brendan Nickturn, like, covering the team and watching them play so closely, he was somebody that I mentioned all the time, both in games and talking on the podcast, of just kind of like a player to watch. I think he's great when, you know, coming up and making points on those loose balls, which is what we saw specifically in the Rutgers team, which is a game I was watching really closely, because the team does so well, to see them so go 3-0 and really like outscoring opponents early on, because from the top, I think it was like they scored 5 in the first and 6 in the third. And so, I mean, they've been dominating kind of from the get-go, so it'll be interesting to see them specifically this upcoming game, because I think the kind of the competition is only going to get even stronger, specifically talking about the Syracuse game. So,
yeah, I mean, he's coming off a great year. He's only a sophomore, I believe, so this ain't the end of seeing Brendan Nickturn. And I'm with Austin. Like, Navy has done great. Nothing. They haven't played the level of competition as Army yet, but they've done nothing to make me think they're not going to have a great season. And I do not want to face Army. Already 3 games into the season, it's just they're looking, even better than the team that kind of came on and was able to capture the Patriot League in the tournament last year. And it's not just Nickturn. Sean O'Brien, who's a senior, has also got 12 points in the year, 9 goals, 3 assists. And then their goalie, which they've pretty much used all 5 goalies that they have on the roster every game, because they're just blowing opponents out, blowing top 20 opponents out, beating UMass 17-4 and then Rutgers 15-4. But Wyatt Schupler, their goalie, I mean, overall, they have a 113 shooting percentage, as other teams do on Army so far. Which is just crazy. They're playing great on all fronts. They're a great defensive team too. Clearly, they haven't given up hardly any goals against these teams. And offensively, they're just scary. So they're dominating. On the women's side, right? We haven't seen them play really the level of competition the same as the men, but same type thing. Like they're off to a great start, 2-0. And Kayla, you've been the biggest Jackie Bratton fan since the beginning. So
yeah,
she's coming off that All Patriot League year last year and picking her up right where she left off.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's exciting to watch her. And this is obviously a little bit of a younger team, watching their game kind of closely, specifically against Columbia. I think this is something that I think that a lot of, maybe if you're not into lacrosse specifically, because I wasn't until I started watching the Army women's team, that this is a team that you're going to be excited to kind of watch and see and develop. I think both, you know, obviously Jackie and then watching Kelly specifically from the women's team, I'm hoping that, you know, years down the line we can get up, you know, fingers crossed to a team that's developed and that successful early on. But I think this is something that you want to see. I mean, you know, it's only 2 games in, but I'll take it being at the top of the Patriot League standings right now. So.
Yeah, 2-0. And the thing for Army, as we talked last year, they're only in their 5th year, but it is kind of getting to that point now. They're 5 years in, so you can't really say they're a brand new team now. But they're still only 5th year of D1 play. It took them a little bit, but they made some incremental improvements. Last year we were saying, you got to get to the Patriot League tournament. That was the next step, right? And they did that, and they beat Lehigh, and they won a game in the Patriot League tournament, but then they got doubled up by Navy. And so this isn't to diminish anything that they've done so far this season. I think they're on their way to continuing to improve on that 14-5 year last year. But the Patriot League has been dominated by Loyola and Navy forever, right? Or
yeah,
since the Navy became a D1 team and Loyola joined the Patriot League. And those are 2 top 15 teams again this year. They're looking really good. And so, you know, the thing is for Army, I believe, correct me if you think differently, Kayla, you know, is not the next step is to get into that top tier, to be that third team in that top tier, and then obviously to do that consistently. But in order to do that, they need to get a win at some point against Navy or Loyola, and those teams are just really good. So even if that doesn't happen, doesn't mean it's a bad season for them or anything like that. But they're starting out great, but that would be, I think, you know, one of their biggest goals is to try and knock off one of those top two teams and get that kind of signature win.
No, I'd agree. And I think in the preseason, they were they're predicted to finish fourth. And so kind of talking, like you said, if you're trying to stay, you know, at that kind of top half spot, that's definitely one of the teams that you're going to kind of take a stab at in terms of beating them to keep ranked either at fourth or at third. Because I think that's, in my kind of eyes and what I've seen from the team do the past couple years and knowing that they're kind of on the younger end of things, a more reasonable kind of finish for them. But I wouldn't say it's, you know, impossible.
Yeah, and so we'd say, like, obviously the Army men are dominating the headlines. Let's not forget about the women. They just haven't played quite the competition level yet, but the Army men have now moved into top 10, like I said, 7th and 9th in the polls. And they play Marist in the midweek, but they have a huge matchup, which is, I believe, not even on TV, which is just sad, like it should be, against Syracuse, at Syracuse, in the Carrier Dome on Saturday. Syracuse is number 5 team in the country, also undefeated. So either of you, what are you looking at for this game? I don't personally expect Army to win by 12 goals, you know, again or something like that, but I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, that's the question stands. Like, what are you expecting to see? Do you have any thoughts going into this game about the Army men? Will it surprise you if they lose by, you know, 4 or 5 goals? Will it surprise you if they win by 10? I mean, what's the kind of feeling going into this?
So I will say you can watch the game on ACC Network, which I just looked up.
Oh, it is on ACC Network.
Yeah, so obviously.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah, so for those of us that when they started ACC Network, you'll be able to tune in and watch that game. But honestly, I feel like what you want is kind of more of the same and just being able to capitalize. You want to see them being aggressive in those face-offs, specifically because, like, Steven Grabmer has been impeccable in kind of this streak and keeping it going, what he's been having. Your typical people that you want to see, Brendan McTurn and Miles Silva, being able to capitalize off of those loose balls and score. Like I said, I think this is being able to watch it on TV. Syracuse is a top-ranked team. I don't specifically see them coming out from that game kind of with, you know, more than 5 or 6 points in terms of, you know, if they do win it. I think that would be great to see, and that's what you kind of hope for. But I know Syracuse has kind of been at the top for quite some time now, and I think it's an away game as well, if I'm not mistaken.
It is, yeah. It's in the Carrier Dome, yeah.
It's a big deal.
I mean, I'll say it. That's the toughest place in the country to go play, you know, as far as the atmosphere for a lacrosse game, if it's packed out, which I assume it will be now that it's a top 10 matchup. That's just a tough place to go play. So, Austin, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, no, looking forward to a great game. I mean, normally I would say, what do you have to lose against a team like that? You still are traveling to Syracuse, like you say, so that's going to be a challenge. But they've got big matchups coming up within the Patriot League, Lehigh, Loyola, even Navy, Bucknell. I mean, so this should be more of a stepping stone into where they want to finish in the Patriot League and maybe holding that top 10 position. So just keep the game competitive. Even if you lose on the road to Syracuse, I don't think people are going to hold that against you a month down the road, as long as you take care of business against those other teams. So
that's true. That's a good point. And so, it'd just be a good game to watch. Thanks for clarifying on the ACC Network thing. That must have been a late edition. I checked that, I feel like, yesterday when I was writing that article.
I think it's on that, like, the extra. Like,
yeah.
Okay. But hopefully we'll be able to get a peek at that, because I'm definitely excited to see that on Sunday at 1 o'clock. All right, so let's move to Air Force, because we feel like we haven't given Air Force any love other than to talk about how terrible their traffic flow is on anything. And we talk about basketball, I guess, but also a huge surprise, right? Like, they come in first game and knock off then a top 5 team in Duke, 14-13. I think prematurely jumped to 13th in the country based on that one win. Personally, I think that was a little bit of a leap to say that they were the 13th best team in the country for beating Duke in the first game. They fall to Denver 13-7. but they kept it within a point going into the fourth quarter and then just kind of fell apart a little bit in the fourth quarter, but then come back and beat, you know, Utah, who's a, you know, decent Utah squad this past week. They're now 2-1. They're still ranked in the top 20. They were 17 last week. They've got a top 25 win. I mean, this is a surprise, right, Austin?
No, I would agree. But pleasant for sure. We already talked about how, before we started talking about lacrosse in general, is just how strong all these service academy teams are doing. And that Denver team is a tough matchup for Air Force, I feel like, just in general. They just kind of seem to have that game. Denver's a great program, right? And I'm with you on the Duke side. Duke was probably overrated coming in. Yeah?
Yeah.
So...
Or I mean, they always seem to have that kind of slip up in the beginning, and I guess it wasn't even, maybe they're not even overrated. It was just Air Force jumping from not ranked to 13th based off that.
But still, Air Force being ranked deserve. I mean, even, you know, so you mentioned against the game against Denver, like relatively close until the end, and you know, that's like awesome. I want all three to be great. That's an exciting year.
Also, yeah, looking up and seeing that their goalie, so Braden Host, is apparently second in the nation right now for saves per game. Obviously, only week two, but that's a pretty big deal, and his save percentage is 11th best in the country. So like you said, it might be, I think, more of a thing of just Air Force performing really well and people not maybe expecting it. So all of a sudden, seeing that kind of jump in ranking may be a little bit of a precursor, but also of kind of like now people are watching them instead of just assuming Duke is going to kind of be the top of the game as usual.
Yeah, and they have a freshman in Brandon Dodd who started out against, you know, his career against Duke and had 8 points, 4 goals and 4 assists. Pretty good way to start out, and hasn't been as dominant in the past two games, but clearly they've recruited, you know, some good guys, and they're in a conference that, quite frankly, the Southern Conference is pretty weak overall, and so it's probably between them and Richmond down the road for who wins that. So I think they have a legitimate shot to win the Southern Conference tournament and make it to the NCAA tournament as well. Whether a top 25 team, we'll see down the road, but great start for them too, for sure. And speaking of that Richmond team,
there you go.
That's a team that the Navy men are going to take on in their first ranked matchup this week. So before they then go face Maryland, number 4 team in College Park. So that, you know, the next Saturday. So some tough ones coming up for Navy, but thoughts on Navy men's lacrosse so far, Austin?
Ryan Curran's been strong in goal from what I've seen. I'm not sure in terms of the statistical save percentage, but the highlights and a little bit of clips that I've been able to see, I haven't even seen a game live yet, has looked pretty comfortable in the net. And I don't remember if you saw the, I'm drawing a blank, who did they scrimmage? And it came down to... what do they even call that? I'm totally blanking out. It's basically one-on-one or two-on-two lacrosse with goalies only. And then, do you know what I'm talking about at all? Did you see this clip?
I don't know. I'm not sure who they were scrimmaging.
Did you see the video at all?
Like spring scrimmages?
Yeah.
I missed it. No, I didn't see it. Didn't catch it.
Totally drawing a blank. But he comes with a big save, and it was just something that they were able to... It showed his ability to kind of, I feel like, step up when something matters. And I feel like he's got that mentality and goal where he's able to take care of things. But no, Christian Daniels also been a good surprise as the year started, I think. Not a surprise, but someone who is performing and doing well and going 2-0 with wins that were expected, like a big win over Furman. But still, like, that's kind of what you would want to happen. And they fulfilled it and they did it. And now this is a great test this week. You already mentioned Richmond and Maryland. Like, that's going to be something we're really going to see where this Navy team is at kind of before Patriot League gets going.
Yeah. No, I mean, they're going to jump right in right after those first two games, which I think their schedule probably sets them up pretty nicely for the Joe Amplo era to kick off where they get those two. But I think you're spot on, Kern. I mean, they've only given up 7 goals between the two games. Furman didn't score until like the 52nd minute. They were up 19-0 on them. Like, so yes, you expected to beat them. Richie Mead, former Navy coach for a long time, first time back in Annapolis with the Paladins. But 19-3 is still a huge victory. And then that first game against Manhattan, you know, didn't score as much, but still 9-4 victory. Nothing to hang your hat on. Kern had, I think, 14 saves in that game alone. He's the MVP of the team last year. And so it is evident that it's going to, when it comes these next few games, Patriot League play, defense is going to be the name of the game, I think, for Navy this year and how they play on defense. How Kern performs in goal is probably going to impact some games. You know, not expecting them to perform great every week. So You know, that's going to be interesting to see, but they've played well. They're receiving votes now, I believe. And they take on a top 20 team in Richmond this Tuesday, a team that I believe beat Maryland, if I'm not mistaken. Richmond is a good squad, and they're going to face Maryland in College Park. So both those are away games on Saturday. And so two big-time matchups for the Navy men, ranked matchups before they get a ranked Lehigh team, you know, the next week. So Patriot League is strong this year. And you know, Loyola, Lehigh, Army, Navy, all Bucknell. So five teams right there that can all make some noise. And so it's going to be really fun to watch. But, yeah, I mean, it's been great. The women. So Navy women started out. They should have won that game against UVA. I watched that game. They should have won that game. They kind of gave it away a little bit there at the end. Let UVA get up finally after Navy had been ahead for, you know, most of the game. Or tie it up, I'm sorry, with 34 seconds to go. Navy almost got off the shot to win the game. I mean, it was a half second maybe too late and was waved off to win the game at the buzzer, and then UVA wins it, you know, in overtime. But that's a top 10 UVA squad. They rebound against St. Joseph's like we expect them to, and then they come back and get a heart-pounding victory, I guess, against Duke this past weekend, a top 25 team. So Austin, Navy women.
Kelly Larkin, I mean, just incredible, huh? I mean, 10 goals, 9 assists going into the season. Yeah, right now, ranked.
But the first game, that's the crazy, because that's the last two games. The first game, I believe she had 1 assist and no goals, if I'm remembering right, which is probably a sign of, like, how teams are going to try and play, right? Navy is, if you take Larkin away, other people are going to step up and beat you, because that's what UVA tried to do. So I could be wrong there, but I believe it's something like that, where it's
no, you're right.
10 goals, 9 assists in the last two games or something like that. So, or 10 goals, 8 assists in the last two games. So,
no, that's fine. And I'm glad Kayla just said you were checking, and that's factual, huh? Both statements?
Yes. Zero goals in the first game. And then
regardless, impressive. I was just trying to say that it was the, you know, it's crazy, even crazier that amount of points came out of the last two games and not just
She was just named Patriot League Player of the Week, I believe, today or earlier today. And even I think the Naval Academy named her as Athlete of the Week. The highest ranked is 13th in the polls, as bad as high as 16th. So, you know, top 15 or so in the country. I've already mentioned that a couple times. Just an exciting group. I was actually looking at the future schedule, and I saw a March 10th game, which is a Tuesday game at noon in Gainesville against Florida, which is, you know, less than 2 hours away from me, and I was already spotting that one, lining it up to see if I could make the trip. That would be a fun one to watch.
Yeah, and that's coming off, I believe, a game against Maryland the week before, right? So they have Villanova this week, and then they've got Maryland and Florida on back-to-back midweek games. So they're not playing around with their schedule,
no.
I guess.
No.
Yeah, I mean, they've already had Virginia, and think of already having Virginia and Duke not even, what, less than a couple weeks at the beginning of the schedule, and they're already playing this well with that type of competition at the top of your schedule. So it's exciting to watch.
Yeah, and you said, Kayla, that you found yourself even watching Navy. You weren't even a lacrosse fan. Now obviously you're following Army really closely, but you found yourself watching Navy women, and I'm guessing because of Kelly Larkin and you know what they've been able to do. So, I mean, any thoughts that you have having kind of followed them early in the season?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's been fascinating to see them capitalize off of last season. Like I said, watching Kelly Larkin specifically, that's kind of what drew my attention. And like you had mentioned, going from zero goals in the first game, I think, to now and kind of 10 in the past couple, I think that speaks to also how well that this team is adjusting to the competition that they've been facing, because they've been such a great team. And not to kind of single out, because they're playing in the Patriot League, that doesn't mean they can compete with these ACC-level teams as well. Like I said, competing against Virginia and double OT, and then also beating Duke kind of early on in your first couple weeks, I think it's kind of an only up from here in terms of looking at how well these women are doing. So I'm excited to watch it, specifically that UF game, because any team playing against UF, I want them to win. So obviously.
Yeah, I mean, right. But if they split those two games between Maryland and Florida, right, and they go 2-2 between UVA, Duke, Maryland, and Florida, they've got two losses that aren't going to hurt them.
Right.
Because especially the UVA games in overtime, I don't know how they'll play in those other two ones, but if it's close, but two signature wins, I believe that's why they're scheduling this way is, you know, if you look at the difference between Army and Navy, right now it's because Army, like we said, is building towards just trying to compete in the Patriot League. Navy knows it's almost a toss-up between them and Loyola, right? And if they don't win the Patriot League Championship game because they lose to Loyola, they need some signature wins in order to get an at-large bid because they're obviously a good enough team to receive an at-large bid if they're playing a tough enough schedule. Would you agree with that, Austin?
I would. I would entirely.
So, and it's not just Kelly Larkin. Annalise Hayward is playing well. I mean, there's some other players that are stepping up.
Well. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and they're going to have to if other teams figure out how to kind of limit Larkin, which is tough to do, obviously, but that's going to be kind of the name of the game, I think, is who steps up in those matchups. But great start for Navy women. I mean, that I guess brings us to a close, but we have three ranked out of the six teams, six Service Academy teams, or five, sorry, five Service Academy lacrosse teams. We have three ranked teams and one receiving votes, and the other one is undefeated too. Yeah. So,
I'll take it.
I mean, that's insane. By the way,
lacrosse thing, before you jump to break or whatever, the scrimmage was against Georgetown on the men's side, and they call the drill a Braveheart. And it's basically 2-on-2, where there's one guy, they go on a face-off, winner goes all the way down to try and score. Save was made, and the Navy went back and scored the other way. That was how they decided the overtime for the scrimmage rather than actually
for the scrimmage.
Yeah, so it was fun.
That's cool. So obviously we're excited about lacrosse. We got big matchups this weekend, especially for Navy and Army on the men's side. And then, you know, big ones coming up for the women on Navy side. I mean, it's good. And then Patriot League play is here right after that. So exciting lacrosse season. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to finish our podcast today talking about baseball, which also is off to a pretty good start, I would say, for Service Academies. But Austin, I know, is near and dear to your heart, Service Academy baseball, and you wrote the preview. So when we come back, we'll let you kind of dissect what we can expect between the three teams and what we've seen so far. All right, welcome back to the Against Enemies podcast. Great segment on lacrosse. We're super pumped about that. But we also have another spring sport that is now underway. Austin, you gave us the preview of the baseball teams. Give us the rundown on that. I mean, we opened up, I believe, 1-2 for Army, but they're playing Duke, who's a ranked team. They won the first game, should have won the second game, so that's still impressive to pick up a win against them on the road. And then, Navy 2-1 against Georgetown. Air Force, not so much. They had a rough outing in their first series. But, yeah, give us the baseball rundown on what we can expect this year. Is it Army and Navy again battling it out for the Patriot League title? Or?
It is, but I'll touch base on the Air Force side first. Yeah, if anyone had a disappointing start or maybe a less than expected start, may have been Air Force at 1-3 over the weekend. Won the first game over Manhattan, lost the second, and then lost the two with Stetson. Stetson, not usually a terrible program by any means, so decent losses there. Ashton Easley is batting 294. He was preseason All-Mountain West Conference. So he's batting under 300 through four games. So we definitely want to see get more out of him as the season progresses. And he's going to be a big part to whether offensively Air Force is able to make the Mountain West tournament. Only the top four teams, just like the Patriot League, make it. Air Force was preseason tabbed to finish sixth, I believe. They play Boise to start the season, which Boise just brought baseball back and is expected to do very poorly. So if they can get a great season sweep there and go 3-0, they then will take on UNLV, who is kind of a middle-of-the-road team. So it's crazy because I think the most important games for Air Force this year are going to be their first six games in conference, which are Boise and UNLV. If they can get off to a hot start there and go, it's not crazy to think they can go 5-1 or 6-0 there. And if they can, then they're going to set themselves up to kind of make, I think, a top four seed to make it into the tournament within the Mountain West, which would be big for Air Force baseball just because just last year they're at 500, and that seems to be kind of what their trend is. They did, if I remember correctly, they beat Navy in the Freedom Classic last year. That's off of memory. I think it was 2-1, or maybe they actually canceled a game and it was 1-1. I don't remember now. But it's usually a pretty competitive series, and that's when Air Force is coming out to North Carolina, which is again this weekend, which is going to be an exciting series for sure. On the Patriot League side, sorry, yeah, go ahead.
No, yeah. I mean, I don't remember what it was. 2-1 or whatever, but I remember that they did beat them at least in a game, and I believe it was the second game. You're right, there was a postponed game. So the second game was postponed. They lost to Navy 2-1, but in the first game, but I mean, there's an obvious reason why they lost in that first game, and that would be, that obvious reason would be Noah Song. And then they postponed, they come back, they win a doubleheader to win the next two games in a shortened first game, and then beat Navy 7-2. But then they use that win to then go to East Carolina and get a win against the top team there, top 15 team there in a good ECU program. So, yeah, I mean, they use that, I guess, to help them kind of kick off their season last year. But I want to make it to this Freedom Classic at some point. I think it would be really fun to go to Kinston, North Carolina.
Always seems to have good reviews, too. And I mentioned that in the article. Like, that's something people should check out if they live kind of in, you know, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, or something like that. I think it's worth a little weekend trip. I think it'd be fun. On that Air Force note, Nathan Price was also a preseason all-conference team. College Baseball News freshman All-American, 6'1 right-handed pitcher who finished with the fourth best ERA in the Mountain West last year and was the fourth best for a rookie in program history for Air Force. So a lot expected out of him on the mound. So easily at the plate, and Price on the mound will be the setter for what's going to happen with Air Force baseball this year. As it comes to Army and Navy, yes, they're the top two in the Patriot League. Heading into the 2020 season, which is kind of a broken record. This is probably 4 or 5 years now where they've been the top two teams. Army 1-2, but you mentioned against a good Duke squad whenever you play an ACC team, it's solid. Got the win on Friday night, which means, without going into too much detail, beating Dukes. Yeah, you know, number one choice on the mound on the weekend. At least that's what I assume, who they started to start the season with. And then the second game was only a one-run game, so they were in it, I think, until the ninth inning, I believe, is when they gave up some runs to actually finish with the loss. But a good showing, and they're going to need that heading into this weekend because they're traveling to College Station to take on Texas A&M, which is no fun place to play. Me being a fan of SEC baseball, that's a very tough environment. If you're an opposing fan or an opposing team, it's Logan Smith, though, with the win against Duke, 7-inning pitch, only gave up one hit, had 10 strikeouts, and Hurtubise is basically the one who's getting all the noise, all the preseason love, and he's only hitting 200. But again, that is against one of probably the two best teams he's going to face all year. So it'll be interesting to see how he does against Texas A&M and the Aggies this weekend. And then last but not least, Navy baseball, 2-1 after playing against Georgetown. Georgetown is, I looked back because I was going to make a comment when the last time was that Georgetown had a winning season. And I went back to like 2005 and they've never had a winning season. So it was a good series win for Navy, you could say, but I don't think it really tells us much. 2-1 is, you just want to win every series. That's what I always say in college baseball. Just try to win every series. Like, that's what you should be playing for. And Navy was able to do that. Matt Wolf's hitting 333. Zach Biggers, which is the name that everyone's talking about now, hitting 308. Is second on the team in total bases with 7, and then Jacob Williamson leading the team with 4 RBIs. So all three teams, yeah, like I said, Air Force, sure, they probably should have got one more win, probably been 500 at this point, and Army's 1-2, but respectable losses against Duke. And I'm excited. Baseball season's here. It's probably my second favorite college sports season after football.
Big thing to say there. Yeah, I mean, a couple of things. I was just looking at the box scores, and Nathan Price actually, I believe that's his name, right?
Air Force guy.
He got the save in the first game, so I wonder if they're even, I don't know if they're going to use him as the closer this year. I'm not sure. That's interesting.
I don't think he started last year either. I don't think he was a starting pitcher. I think he was more relief.
Okay. Well, he got the save in the first game, but that second game, that Army lost Duke before then getting shut out, which maybe that was because of just the way it, but being Army was up 7-1 after 4 innings, and then lost that game 9-8 in the bottom of the ninth. They were up 8-7 going into the ninth, and gave up 2 runs in the bottom of the ninth to lose 9-8. So after starting out beating Duke, and then who's 15th ranked team in the country coming into the week, and looking like you're going to go 2-0 and win the series against the top, I mean, so that is rough. We'll see how they rebound, I guess, against A&M. But yeah, I mean, overall, like you said, Air Force probably underperformed. Navy 2-1. Okay. I mean, I would have liked to have seen a sweep against Georgetown, but I guess that's okay. And Army 1-2, even at 1-2.
Hey, as a baseball fan, you know it's tough to beat any team three times. Like
three times,
in every level, it's tough to do.
Yeah, unless you're banging on trash cans.
Hey, who won the last World Series though?
That's right. It didn't even matter, right? Didn't matter. Bang on those trash cans. Yeah, what a mess. Man, MLB is burning down, like to the ground. They're calling out the commissioner.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane.
I'm excited for the season to start because I want to see how every team reacts to play in Houston. But that's a whole nother podcast.
It is, but they set an over-under on how many Houston players are going to get beaned at the end of the season today. Like, you can bet on it. I think it's like 83.5 or something like that. Intentional hit batsman. Oh, man. So, anyways, yes, that's a whole other podcast. But excited about college baseball. I'm always pumped for that as well. I'm trying to grab a Clemson game this week, actually, midweek, $2 tickets. And I like when baseball gets going too. Especially when, Army and Navy are still really good in the Patriot League, and it's fun. So,
glad they got that three-game series at Citizen Park this year for I don't know how they decide to start. Yeah. I forget off the top of my head, but
yeah.
It might be a whole series. No,
at the bank. It is a full series. I believe you've got to win the series.
Well, they play four games. They play one game that's different, and then they do the three-game series. We'll have to look that up and let y'all know.
That'll be fun. They've done that several times now in the past few years. Really cool to get to play in an MLB stadium, obviously. So that'll be fun. Another thing I'd like to check out is, I don't know why I haven't been to one of those yet, where they were playing at an MLB stadium, because they've done that now at Camden Yards, Fenway.
Yeah.
A lot to talk about. Kind of happy basketball is winding down from a service academy perspective, but some teams that they may make some noise in the tournament for sure. We're not counting them out by any means. Just overall, it's been rough. Lacrosse season has kind of picked that back up, and excited for that in baseball and some of the other spring sports. So it's gonna be fun. We got three stars on the line this weekend between basketball and wrestling, and some good stuff happening. So look forward to chatting with you folks again here in a couple weeks. We'll update after a couple big lacrosse weeks and some big baseball as well.
Big stuff though. Freedom Classic, and the Army Navy basketball game, right? That's all this weekend.
Weekend. The Army Syracuse lacrosse game as well. So check that. I mean, some good stuff going on this weekend. And then by the time we probably chat again, we'll be through some really big lacrosse matchups, plus heading into conference tournaments for basketball, right? We'll be talking conference tournaments and March Madness, and it's crazy to think. So.
Are we going to be talking about that, though?
March Madness? No. Tournaments, yes. All right. Well, it was good talking with y'all, and we'll catch you later.
All right.
Congratulations to the Navy midshipmen. Winners of the Commander-in-Chief's Trophy, the Great Air Force Falcons.
Now, for the United States.